Good morning. It's April 11th, and this is your daily brief in UK news. Here's everything you need to know. In a move that could reshape the conversation around freedom of the press and whistleblowing, US President Joe Biden is reportedly considering a request from the Australian government to halt the prosecution of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. This development comes amidst growing international concern for Assange, who has spent years embroiled in legal battles over his role in publishing classified military documents. The Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, along with the nation's parliament, has been vocal in advocating for Assange's return to Australia, setting aside judgments on his past actions. This push from Australia arrives as the UK High Court has temporarily suspended Assange's extradition to the US, pending assurances that he will not be subject to the death penalty, a stipulation the US is expected to address by the end of May. Amidst these legal manoeuvres, there's an escalating worry over Julian Assange's health as he continues to be held in custody. His wife has publicly voiced her fears that he may not survive if kept behind bars for much longer. This situation not only raises questions about Assange's personal fate, but also casts a spotlight on broader issues of transparency, national security, and the rights of journalists and whistleblowers. The outcome of Assange's case is poised to have far-reaching implications, challenging international norms around the protection of journalistic activities and the exposure of government secrets. As the world watches, the decisions made in the coming weeks could mark a pivotal moment in the ongoing debate over freedom of the press and the accountability of governments worldwide. In a strategic move, UK Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron embarked on a pivotal visit to the US, tackling issues that stand at the crossroads of international relations and security. At the heart of discussions were Ukraine's plight, the intricacies of Brexit, the upcoming elections, and the critical matter of NATO defence spending. Lord Cameron's agenda included a notable dinner with former President Donald Trump, where they delved into these pressing topics. The conversation extended beyond the dining table to a meeting with US Secretary of State Antony Blinken, where Cameron made a strong case for lifting the blockade on further aid to Ukraine. His visit wasn't just about diplomatic talks, it was a concerted effort to sway senior Republicans to unlock financial support for Ukraine, a mission that finds an ally in Blinken and, interestingly, UK Labour Party leader Keir Starmer. The UK's approach to international diplomacy shines through, highlighting the practice of engaging with opposition leaders of allied nations during election years. Cameron's push for a new aid package for Ukraine underscores a stark warning. The security of the West hangs in the balance. With the US Congress at a decision-making crossroads, the outcome of these discussions could reshape the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and redefine the future trajectory of the NATO alliance. In a move that's sparking debate among football enthusiasts, UEFA's ticket allocation for the upcoming Europa League final in Dublin has left Arsenal and Liverpool fans feeling sidelined. With only 12,000 tickets available to each finalist, the decision has ignited a conversation about fan access to major football events. The final, set to take place at Aviva Stadium, has a total of 36,000 tickets, earmarked for general sale, priced between €65 to €150. This announcement comes as a particular point of interest for Irish fans, who, from April 9th to April 16th, have the opportunity to apply for tickets. Notably, applicants can indicate their support for one of the eight teams still vying for a spot in the final, among which Liverpool stands as a favourite in Ireland. The response from Football Supporters Europe to UEFA's ticketing strategy has been sharply critical. The group has labelled the allocation paltry and is pushing for at least two-thirds of the stadium's capacity to be reserved for fans of the competing teams. Despite these criticisms, UEFA has outlined its commitment to affordability in ticket pricing for both the Europa League and Champions League finals. However, concerns loom large over the soaring costs of travel and accommodation for fans aiming to follow their teams abroad. For those setting sights on the Champions League final at Wembley Stadium, UEFA has allocated 60,000 tickets to fans, with starting prices at $76. This allocation is part of a larger capacity of 86,600, with the remainder reserved for corporate and VIP attendees. As the debate over ticket allocations continues, Football Supporters Europe is advocating for a greater focus on fan access, emphasising the need to prioritise the supporters of the teams making it to these pivotal matches. In a move that aligns with international calls for humanitarian relief, UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak and Prime Minister Boris Johnson have thrown their support behind US President Joe Biden's proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. This proposed 6 to 8 week halt in hostilities aims to allow critical food and medicine deliveries into the region, spotlighting the UK's stance on the escalating humanitarian crisis. The backdrop of this international dialogue is a dire situation in Gaza, where over 30,000 lives have been lost, including three British aid workers, victims of Israeli Eitan airstrikes. This tragedy has intensified the scrutiny on Israel and the international community's response to the conflict. Despite the growing calls for action and the palpable humanitarian need, the UK government has maintained its arms export agreements with Israel, over 24 active licenses for military components, including those used in combat aircraft and armoured personnel carriers, remain in effect. This decision, coupled with the government's refusal to disclose legal advice on these arms exports, has sparked a wave of criticism. Opposition parties, alongside some members of the Conservative Party, are now demanding an emergency parliamentary debate for transparency and reassessment of the UK's arms export policies. Amidst the controversy, UK Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron has reiterated the nation's unchanged stance on arms sales to Israel, even in the wake of the aid workers' deaths. Lord Cameron has also emphasised the need for a Plan B to secure humanitarian aid delivery to Gaza, highlighting the UK's involvement in international aid efforts. This includes a significant international aid drop into Gaza, as the UK urges Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to fulfil his commitments to aid provision. The global dialogue on the Gaza conflict has seen President Biden openly criticise Netanyahu's approach, labelling it a mistake and advocating for an end to the fighting. The UK's push for Netanyahu to address the humanitarian crisis more effectively is part of a broader international plea for peace and relief in Gaza. Furthermore, Lord Cameron's recent visit to Washington underscores the UK's active role on the international stage, seeking support for Ukraine amid wider security concerns and defending diplomatic engagements as routine and necessary for global diplomacy. In a heart-rending turn of events, Bradford city centre became the scene of a tragic incident when 27-year-old Kulsuma Akhtar was fatally stabbed in the neck while shopping with a friend and pushing her baby in a pram. This shocking act of violence has thrust the community and her family into a state of profound grief and disbelief. Kulsuma Akhtar's life was abruptly ended in what appears to be a deeply personal attack. The accused, 25-year-old Habibur Masum from Burley, Lancashire, Akhtar's husband, faces charges of murder and possession of a bladed article. Following a tense four-day manhunt, Masum was arrested on Tuesday morning with a court appearance set for Thursday, marking a significant development in this harrowing case. The investigation has widened as four additional men were arrested on suspicion of assisting an offender and drug offences, showcasing the complex web of circumstances surrounding Akhtar's murder. With charges authorised by CPS Yorkshire and Humberside, the legal proceedings are beginning to unfold, revealing the layers of this tragic event. In response to this incident, the police have taken the step of referring themselves to the Independent Office of Police Conduct, indicating an internal review of their interactions with Miss Acter prior to her death. This move highlights the seriousness with which the authorities are treating the case and their commitment to transparency and accountability. As the community grapples with the aftermath of this tragedy, West Yorkshire Police have increased their presence in the area, conducting patrols to reassure residents and address the palpable concern. The police urge anyone with information that could assist the investigation to come forward, emphasising the importance of community cooperation in achieving justice for Kulsuma Acter and her grieving family. This has been your daily brief in UK news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.